Hello, welcome to the 54th Harmony UK podcast. April 2024, I'm John Beasley, and this is an edition which should appeal to you, especially if you love your barbershop harmony as sung by quartets. You can't be forever blessed. Some fabulous sounding quartets too. This is Metropolitan Union, international champions at the first Bieber convention since the Iberian group changed its name from the Spanish Association of Barbershop Singers, SABS. And this is 351, a brand new quartet from Portugal who won the inaugural Iberian contest. We'll also be crossing the pond to hear the fascinating story of the legendary Schmidt Brothers Quartet, whose stellar career is explored in a new audiobook which also contains a wealth of original recordings.
And we stood there and looked at each other and said, you know what? We won. And I said to Paul, don't cry. He says, don't tell me what to do. What do you think you're doing?
And here in Britain, well, it's that time of year again. We'll be looking ahead to the forthcoming convention of Sweet Adeline's Region 31. They've a new venue in Sheffield, and there's lots to look forward to, including a unique performance from two of UK Barbershop's best-loved quartets. That's all to come here on the Harmony UK podcast, after a word from our sponsor. Now, not really an ad for cornbread, no ads on this podcast, but as you probably guessed, a high-octane, uplifting tag, as taught by Tim Warwick to a packed audience in the Mediterranean resort of Calpe, home to the Bieber Convention barbershop singers of Iberia. Vocal Spectrum were the guest quartet from the US, along with Labs Gold Medal Quartets In-House and Barbalicious, and this year's Labs Chorus Champs, the Cheshire Chord Company, all of whom, I must say, put on some wonderful performances. Vocal Spectrum, in particular, would have been very familiar with one of the two songs performed by the quartet which won gold in the convention's international contest.
There's a wicked woman, so despicably sad. She's harlot, scorned, and pitiless. She's evil and mad. And when she's about, you better look out. I wanna tell you she's bad. 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 She's so
Cruella de Vil, one of two David Wright arrangements performed by Metropolitan Union. Four men from Catalonia who won last year's domestic contest in Spain and who are becoming increasingly well regarded throughout Europe and beyond. Well, after the contest, I caught up for a chat with two members of the quartet who introduced themselves.
Marti, hi.
And you sing?
As a lead.
A lead and?
And I'm Joan, and I sing baritone.
So, Marti and Joan, the lead and Barry from Metropolitan Unions, congratulations on your international goal today.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. We are really happy to achieve this goal. Yeah.
And a couple of absolutely amazing songs, including Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. That's a real
challenge.
A real challenge
for us.
To sing two songs of David Wright, and David Wright judging us.
I was going to ask about that. I mean, when look down, and this is, it is an incredible song, and you put a lot into it, a lot into the performance as well, didn't you?
That's a thing that we want to improve, because always the performance part was our Achilles heel.
Achilles heel.
So we have to improve our performance punctuation. So we have to have the greatest and hardest songs to improvise.
But I want to say that Joan is always thinking about it, and as always, he has every day new ideas that helps a lot
crazy
to
ideas.
Our crazy ideas, yeah. but helps a lot our group to improve in our performance. So I think that we had a great night and a great experience singing today in this Cruella de Vil with his performance.
Well, tell us one. You have crazy ideas. What is the crazy idea that you have been most proud of in terms of what the quartet's done over the past
year? For the today performance, I was proud to hold all our bassist body at the first tack of the song, and that's the happiest thing I think I have done today.
Let me ask you about the tag as well, because there is an incredibly long, is it a lead post at the very end?
Yeah. It's a long one. For me, it's like I don't know, to be really calm and to think about it, like, okay, give the less breath that you can, you know, like less air. And well, it's a thug one, but I really want to do more times this song to be more comfortable with that, you know, because I think that a real tack for a real piece, we need a long practice to achieve a good one.
The other challenge was to do this song, Cruella de Vil, with Vocal Spectrum watching us.
Yeah.
Because because they made it famous, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. They started all that crazy song. Exactly. So that's the other challenge that we got today.
I was going to say, how are you getting on with Vocal Spectrum? Did they come over and introduce themselves? Did you go and meet them or what?
No. We have talked 5-10 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
just after the
champion
show.
Yeah, championship.
But I think we'll have a talk right now in the in the after hour.
And I'm sure they did too. The afterglow went on well into the night. This, by the way, was the other David Wright arrangement sung in contest by Metropolitan Union, Paul Simon's song, An American Tune.
I'm so far away from home, and I'll be traveling soon. Still my heart sees the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I often felt forsaken, and certainly
from the quality of that performance, you probably won't be surprised to learn that even before they found Barbershop, the members of Metropolitan Union were all very experienced and accomplished singers. Here's Marty, the lead.
Yeah, totally, because in fact, the four of us, all the group, we are professional singers in our lives. So we are working like singers. It helps a lot to start with a new style like Barbershop, and it's easier to develop in a great experience for us, I think. But yeah, it helps a lot.
Somebody was telling me, Juan, that you're the quartet are all operatically trained. Is that true?
Yeah. Because of our work, we used to do all kind of different productions, baroque, styles, classic, yeah. all the kind, and that includes opera. So all of us are trained to be opera soloists.
I'm just wondering whether that means that when it comes to barbershop, you have to unlearn some of the things that you've learned. Because, for example, a deep vibrato is a real asset for an opera singer, but it gets in the way of making the chords ring if you're a barbershopper.
I don't know. It was really hard at the beginnings, you know? Like, okay, Marti, watch out because you are vibrating so much watch out, guys, we need to improve our wall of sound, you know, at the end of every phrase, every sentence, because in ancient music is always all the sentences in decrescendo, you know, and so we need, when we are working with the group in barbershop style, we need to, you know, to change the tip of our mind to, now we are working in a new style, so forgot everything you learned before, no?
And what about, I mean, is how much barbershop is there to do? I mean, do you do a lot of concerts? Do you do a lot of coaching? I mean, how do you spend your, how does your barbershop life work out here?
We would like to do more coaching, but normally we have four different shows. One called A Fight of Sons, it's called Shaving Sounds. it's all barbershop. The other, it's Bach Barbershop. It's a mix of classical music that it's based in music of Bach I'm sorry.
We're getting, as you can hear, the singing is going on around us at the moment. One question I must ask you again. I was told that you were introduced to barbershop by Hanfrees Quartet, who, of course, are another very famous quartet from Catalonia.
Yeah, exactly. Our... The lead of, currently the baritone of Hanfrees Janer, it was my teacher in the conservatoire, in the music studies. He introduced me this style, and we did some little stage with some colleagues. And I realized that, okay, Janer, this is fabulous. Tell me more about that. So he encouraged me to be here in one convention and try to sing only two songs, and this was the beginning of Metropolitan Union. So it's all thanks to this to Hanfrees, no?
And so you eventually came and you beat Hanfrees in contest, didn't you, Juan?
That's the funny thing, that they are our mentors, and last year we beat them. But we have a real healthy climate improving each other.
I must ask you about the name Metropolitan Union, because it's quite an unusual name for a quartet. Where does that come from?
With the last group of members, you know, I'm still the oldest one in the group. It's because all the members were living in outside Barcelona, outside of the metropolis. So when we wanted to do the rehearsals or concerts, it was all the job in Barcelona. So Barcelona or this center, it was like the Metropolitan Union, you know,
right.
The Union Metropolitan, about the four members, because we were from outsiders.
So you all came from outside the metropolis, you united there, and hence the name, It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And now, of course, you're facing the prospect of going to the United States to compete internationally. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, we want to go this year, this summer, but the problem is that the week of the competition, I will be father. So it's hard to be...
He's going
to
be a dad, yeah. So...
You're going to be a dad? Oh, yeah. Congratulations!
Just in the week of the competition, so... I told my friends
that
we cannot go there. Why we cannot go there? Oh, I'm going to be dead. Oh, that's okay.
So priorities, no?
Yeah.
So maybe we have that in our mind to go there sometime. But
step by step, no?
Step by step. First, probably we will try to go to Europe, some places.
Yeah.
And maybe we know more people in Europe.
Exactly.
And continue growing, meeting new people in Europe. that's our goal now, right now.
Well, we are very much looking forward to seeing what you do next and hearing from you in Europe. But just before we finish, the other two members who are not here, just remind me who they are so that we can look out for them when we're watching you on YouTube.
Our two colleagues are Germán, who is the bass one, and Dani is our tenor.
Okay, so we've got Germán, Dani, Juan and Marti. And where do we find out more about you if we want to?
At the social media, Instagram, Facebook. We have things in YouTube, and we have our new album. It's from 2 years ago, called All Attack, and it's in Spotify, in Deezer, in Amazon Play, in YouTube Music, and all that stuff.
Next year, we can talk about the Christmas.
I think
Christmas song.
December we launch our new CD, our second CD. It's from Christmas songs. Half English songs and half Catalan and Spanish villancicos, with barbershop style.
That sounds absolutely amazing. Yeah. We'll look forward to that. We'll look forward to seeing you across Europe in the years to come. Marti, Juan, thank you very much indeed, and
thank you.
Congratulations once again to Metropolitan Union.
Thank you,
John. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Amor verdadero nos une por siempre en el latido de mi corazón. Recuerda, familia, oiga mi gente, cante la coro esta canción. Amor verdadero nos une por siempre en el latido de mi corazón. Ay, de mi honor.
Another song from Metropolitan Union. Great to meet them in Calpe. That was their Coco medley from their album All A Tag, which I found on Spotify and is well worth looking out there. We'll return to Bieber later to meet 351, the new Iberian champion quartet from Portugal. And for fans of Vintage Barbershop, we'll stay tuned as we recall the stellar career of the Schmidt brothers with the author of a new audiobook about their life and career. That's all to come. Before all that, it is that time of year when, as summer follows spring, so the Bieber Convention is followed within a few short weeks by the annual gathering of Sweet Adeline's Region 31. Those who were at Bieber may experience a certain déjà vu. Sandy and David Wright, who both graced the Bieber judging panel, will also be special guests at Region 31 too. In their silver anniversary year, the region, which includes women singers from Britain and the Netherlands, is trying out a brand new venue. Alison Chaney will be taking over in May from Elaine Hamilton as the new regional coordinator. Alison's chorus, Lay City from Nottingham, won gold last year. So for her, this year's convention involves what should be a mercifully short journey along the motorway.
Yes, we're really looking forward to the first ever Region 31 convention at the Octagon in Sheffield. That's going to be great. Wonderful for me and my chorus because it's only just 40 minutes up the M1. And it's kind of okay for most choruses, I think. It's quite accessible. So, yeah, very exciting, very exciting.
What was it then that made you leave Warwick? Because Warwick was a lovely venue.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to go to Warwick eventually again because we loved Warwick, and we loved the fact that all the accommodation was you know, very close and on site, more or less. Lovely people there to help us with the arrangements. I think it's just that every so often we decide that we're going to have another go at some other city, you know, and give them a chance. So the Octagon was the ideal choice for us.
And Sheffield is a lovely city as well. And as you say, I mean, there's great transport links to just about everywhere.
So it's a great barbershop city.
Absolutely, yeah. There is a new chorus being formed out of the three choruses there. Have they got anything to do with your convention? Will we be seeing them at all?
Yes, they're called the Crucible Vocal Project, which I think is a fantastic name. And they're going to be performing certainly on the Friday as Mike Yeah, Mike Coolers. Yes, at the end of the contest, while the judges are tabulating all the scores, they're going to be performing then, and then they're going to be around for most of the weekend. So we'll see them perform, and it's going to be very exciting because I think the three choruses that have formed the Crucible Vocal Project are all amazing choruses. So yeah,
Absolutely. For those who
it's
don't
going to
know,
be great.
Sheffield Harmony, Hallmark of Harmony, and also Steel City Voices, those are the three, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. That will definitely be worth seeing. Well, and you're bringing a couple of really stellar quartets together as well, aren't you?
We are. We've got Limelight, who are, I think, phenomenal, a wonderful quartet, and of course Fortuity, our very own Fortuity, who are going to be going to international again this year in end of October, and they're going to do an 8-part arrangement.
Oh,
I hope
wow.
that's not secret. I hope that's not top secret, but they're going to be doing an 8-part arrangement. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
I was going to ask you what the song was, but I presume you probably have to kill me, given that you've got to keep something
I think I
secret.
would, yes.
Oh,
Yes, I
right,
think
okay.
I would.
Well, in that case, since I don't have my bulletproof vest on, I will actually not ask you in that case, and we'll wait until the convention to find out. But it's, I mean, it always it is a very friendly convention. What are you particularly looking forward to this year?
Well, I'm looking forward to particularly not competing this year. we are competing as outgoing champions, and we're singing for evaluation. This is Lady City Chorus, but we're on first, and then we can just watch everyone else in the contest, which is amazing. It's just fabulous to see everybody compete. Plus, I'm going to be comparing, emceeing the start of the quartet contest. So again, you get a fantastic seat, and you see the quartets as they come on stage. It's just wonderful. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to, we've got lots of education events happening on the Sunday morning. As usual, we've roped in our judges, but also the regional faculty. So we've got an extensive menu of different choices for people to opt into on the Sunday morning, including quartet coaching, which was very popular last year. We did that in Warwick. But the judges are going to be doing some classes, doing some coaching under glass. And this year we've got the wonderful David Wright as well, who's coming with Sandy, who's our visual showmanship judge this year. So he's offered to do some classes as well, which we're very much looking forward to.
And I should imagine there'll be a lot of quartets queuing up for that, won't there? I mean, you know,
Oh,
to be coached
absolutely,
by
yes.
David Wright is, I think, just about everybody's idea of the perfect coach.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward to seeing him again.
You said that you were looking forward to watching the chorus contest. It's going to be a rather shorter chorus contest this year, though, because I counted up the number of choruses, and there are quite a few people, quite apart from Lay City, who are not competing this year.
Yes, we had great representation at the Bieber convention, of course, Aberdeen, who came fourth, and then Viva a cappella, who won it with a wonderful performance. So they decided they opted to go there rather than come to Region 31. And I think that's an issue, isn't it? Especially with our convention being hot on the heels of things like the Spanish convention, the Spanish and Portuguese convention. There are just conventions all over the place at the moment, aren't there? I mean, with what with the Irish and Holland Harmony and Bing, and you know, it's you could spend your entire life going from one convention to another, which I think you probably do, John.
Well, I've been to a couple recently. I've got to admit, but is this genuinely becoming an issue for what I might call the home organisations? I know that Region 31, you've got a foot in the Netherlands. You've got some Dutch choruses that take part in your organisation. But given that there's so much choice, I mean, there's more choice, isn't there? You mentioned Spain. There's the Irish convention, which has an international contest as well, and our choruses do have an awful lot of choice about where to go, and it's not that expensive to go to Ireland or Spain.
Well, no, exactly. I remember going to the Spanish convention probably 10 years ago, and you know, for a reasonable price, we got accommodation, we got registration. You know, the flights were cheap. It was and sunshine as well. You know, you can't deny the fact that the weather is certainly better over there in April than it is it is over here. But they'll all be back again next year. So, you know, it's just something that happens.
I was going to say, in the meantime, are you at Region 31 and do you think people at Labs and Babs are sort of scratching their heads thinking, how can we work harder? How can we make our conventions better just to try and keep at the forefront of people's minds?
Well, quite, yes, because and in fact, this year we've got it's a special anniversary as well for Region 31, because it's the 25th anniversary since we became a region. We had been an area up to then, but this 1999 was the year we actually became a region. So it's our silver anniversary this year. So, so we've got some activities planned to celebrate that. Yeah, I mean, it certainly is something to keep us occupied. And as I'm going to be team coordinator from the 1st of May, taking over from the amazing Elaine Hamilton, it's going to be something that we're going to have to occupy ourselves with, definitely.
And I know that after the chorus contest and after the quartet contest, you have some really good mass sings. You have some people getting up on stage and just doing things more or less off the cuff. I'm just wondering, given it's your 25th anniversary, any chance of getting David Wright maybe to direct some of those things, do you think?
Oh, well, who knows? Who knows? That would be very interesting, wouldn't it? That would be very interesting. I think you're just going to have to either watch this space or come to the convention. There are single tickets available.
What a good idea. And if you can't make it to Sheffield on the 11th and 12th of May, then I've been delighted to learn that we'll all be able to follow the contests once again by tuning in to the excellent Region 31 webcast, which will be running throughout the weekend. My thanks to Alison Cheney, and let's hear an excerpt now from last year's winning performance from Lace City Chorus. Contest stage and under the direction of Ellie Blackerby, Nottingham's Lace City Chorus, with a fabulous performance of the Cole Porter classic Let's Do It. Find that performance on YouTube. It is a great watch. And before moving on, we should send get well wishes to Alison's husband, Glenn Cheney, who's not been at all well recently. If you're listening, Glenn, then I'm sure that we're all wishing you a full and speedy recovery. You're listening to Harmony UK Podcast, Edition 54. It is great to have your company. I'm John Beasley, and this is a greeting from across the years and from way across the ocean.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Well, what do you know?
What do you know?
Oh, boy.
It's good to see you, John. To meet a friend from your
not from any old town.
The Schmidt brothers, with a vocal introduction which heralded many a stage performance from four brothers who for 35 years were among America's most successful and best loved barbershop quartets. In this country, their career tends to be overshadowed by that of their immediate forerunners as Spebskusa champions, the Buffalo Bills, and their association with Meredith Willson and the Music Man. But the dazzling rise to stardom of the Schmidt Brothers Quartet, Joe, Fran, Paul and Jim, is perhaps even more remarkable, and their longevity as a quartet is certainly impressive. From the early 50s through to the mid-1980s, they travelled over 2 million miles, performed more than 3,000 shows, and released 9 separate albums and CDs. They sang to packed houses from stages at Carnegie Hall, Madison Square Gardens, and other top North American venues, and they appeared with all the great US talk show hosts of their era, including Ed Sullivan, Arthur Godfrey, and Lawrence Welk.
In short, the Schmidt brothers became roving ambassadors for Barbershop Harmony, as well as for their hometown of Two Rivers, a small community in Wisconsin on the shores of Lake Michigan, where the brothers are still fondly remembered. One of those active in keeping the memory alive is the author P.T. Rivers. She's a great niece of the Schmidt brothers, and her recent book about their lives has now been published in audio format, complete with over a dozen original recordings. P.T. Rivers, Paula to her family and friends, spoke to me online from Wisconsin, and I began by asking her about how the book got started.
Well, it was really to fulfill a promise. It's a kind of a funny story that goes along with it. So I'm picking up my first grader from school in my minivan, and a bunch of his friends pile in. And we always had the Schmidt brothers playing on the CD because it was fun to sing to, especially for little kids. There was a rule, you had to sing as loud as the Schmidt brothers. So we would belt these songs out. It was really fun. So they all pile in the van, and I kind of turned down the volume because I wasn't sure if barbershopping was cool for first graders or not. And one of the boys from the back seat pipes up with, "Hey, don't turn that down. What is that?" And my son, who knew the story, started bragging endlessly about his famous uncles who won gold medals and they were on TV. And he was just going on and on and on. And it was very heartwarming for me to know that he remembered the story and was proud of his great-great uncles. So I get home, and that day, wouldn't you know it, is kind of serendipitous. But there's a Valentine's Day card from Jim and Marianne. And Jim was the lead singer of the Barbershop Quartet. And so I had to write right back and tell them they still had fans, even though they were in first grade. And that's what started the whole thing. Because when Aunt Marianne got my reply, she called me and she said, "Paula, he's the last one. If we don't do something to capture all those stories, they're going to just disappear." And so she was really after her husband to record in some way all the stories of the funny events and the victories and just the camaraderie they had and how important barbershopping was to them. And I said, "You know what? I'm a writer. I'll write a book. I'd love to write a book. This would be fabulous." It took me, I think, 15 years to get around to actually writing it. But in between, I had just fabulous firsthand resources. I was able to interview Jim and Marianne multiple times. We would meet weekly on the phone for like an hour. For I think it was about a year we were doing that. I had access to some recordings that he had made just speaking into a microphone on a little cassette recorder. I had scrapbooks from two of the wives that had just loads of newspaper clippings, snapshots, even a snapshot from the moment they ran on stage to accept the medals. That's gold to a biographer. And then I must have interviewed it about 30 cousins, children, brothers, sisters, all of that. So there was just a treasure trove of primary information from this tiny little town in Wisconsin.
A tiny little town, but a very large family. I mean, they came from 17 brothers and sisters, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Same parents, all 17. Yeah, it was a very, very large family. And they were very proud German, hardworking. I think their dad and mom were both first generation Americans, but originally from Germany, from both sides. And they loved being in a big family, and they all turned around and had big families. So the four quartet members had 35 children among the four of them. You know, it was just the way things were. They loved children. And what was really great for me and why there was such a labor of love involved, I literally lived around the corner from Jim. Joe was through the next block. Paul was a couple houses down. And Fran was around the next corner. I grew up in the same neighborhood with those 35 other kids. Some of those kids were our babysitters. I mean, I knew them. I saw them weekly. They sang at church. They sang all over town. There were cousins' parties. And if you can imagine cousins' parties, Henry and Anna had 17 children, but they had 102 grandchildren.
Wow.
And I was a great-grandchild. So it's a big, big family.
We will come back to the importance of families later on. But in fact, their mother, Anna, played an integral part in their introduction to Barbershop, if I've read your book correctly. It was a question of one door closing and another opening, as she put it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, that became quite the family story. The boys learned how to sing harmony in the church choir. And their church choir, they had a men's choir, and it was very well renowned. They must have had a very good director. But they never sang during the summer. Everybody took the summer off. One summer, an executive from the biggest business in town came to the director and said, could you sing for my daughter's wedding? It's in June. I know you don't usually do this, but could you please? And the director said, no, we don't get together. It's just too hard. But the organist here, who was one of the Schmidt brothers' older brothers, he could maybe play for you. So the director leaves, and this executive is thinking, you know, bunch of your brothers sing in the choir. Could you get them to just sing for this wedding? And they did. And they were a huge hit. All of a sudden, multiple families were saying, could you sing at our wedding? By the time fall rolled around, they didn't want the men's choir. They wanted the Schmidt brothers. And it became a big deal. The director said, there will be one choir in the church where I am director. So Monsignor had to get involved and make a decision. And his famous line was, the few must give in to the many. So the Schmidt brothers were out. So they went home a couple blocks down the street and commiserated with mom. And she said, you know what? You just need a reason to sing. Just sing. You'll always feel better. A few months later, they're singing at a women's Christmas party at the Hotel Manitowoc. Their brother Ray is playing the piano and they're singing Christmas carols. What they didn't know was that the president of Seb Squassa was staying at the hotel. O.H. King Cole was his name. And he happened to hear them when he was walking down the hall. Literally, just happened to hear them. And he waited for them to finish because he was so impressed. And he famously said, you guys should be barbershoppers, and invited them to join the local chapter. And it all went from there.
The moon never beams without bringing that wonderful mother of mine, the birds never sing, but a message they bring of that wonderful mother, that mother of mine.
A song sung by the brothers on a pioneering local TV show to their mother, even before they became barbershop champions. In fact, the family legend goes that they only chose to sing barbershop because their mother Anna happened to be listening to the cordettes on that fateful day they came home from the church choir. According to Paula, it was Anna's love of music that the brothers inherited.
She really pushed music in the household. They had a grand piano, which swallowed up almost the entire living room. And they would typically sing every evening, or there were, I think they could put a 10-piece band together. You know, everybody played something or sang, and music was a really strong part of their upbringing. But they were also, as you can imagine in a family of 17, very competitive. So when they started singing barbershop, I think it was the challenge. They could sing harmony already, but barbershop is a whole different challenge. And they really, really embraced it and loved it. I think that's what really spurred them on.
And 18 months then from their very beginnings to winning an international contest in Toledo. Who coached them? I mean, I presume they didn't all do it themselves, did they?
No, there were actually several coaches in the Manitowoc chapter. They had Johnny Means, who was later a president of the national organization, and a pianist and musician called Milt Dedgen. And there was another guy who wrote music. His first name was Rudy, and his last name is escaping me at the moment. But they once the Schmidt brothers said, hey, we'd like to try this competitive thing, this contest thing, will you coach us? And they said, sure, but it's going to be a lot of work. And they coached everything from how to walk on stage, how to take a pitch off stage, how to stand and dress and walk off stage, and how to, as Uncle Paul would say, make the audience believe in the music. You couldn't just sing the song and sing it accurately. You had to make them believe in it. You had to really engage with them. And that happened not only by your voice, but what the audience saw. They had to see you really enjoying the song and really emoting whatever that song's emotion was. So they really helped them become well-rounded barbershoppers.
You paint a poignant and at times quite amusing picture of their first final. There was a point where they weren't actually watching the other quartets. They were trying to keep cool by sitting in their underwear and playing cards, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And I think it's so funny because they were afraid they'd wrinkle their suits. So they had been drilled so hard by their coaches that presentation was such an important part of the score that they didn't want to wrinkle their suits. So they sat in the basement playing cards and practicing a little bit, and all their suits were hung up on hangers. So they'd be nice and fresh when they walked out on stage, because as the luck of the draw would happen, they were going to be last. And it was very, very hot. So they just wanted to look as best as they could.
And they couldn't believe it when they won, could they?
No, they were very, very surprised. And that picture I told you about before says it all. They were just really shocked, because once they started realizing who they were singing with, and the Buffalo Bills were giving their swan song, they really were like, you know, we made it this far. We're proud of ourselves. This is awesome. And all of a sudden they were walking on stage. They were really in a state of disbelief for months. And when they, we had the luck of having the recording of Joe Schmidt telling an audience about what that was like. And we included it in the audiobook, because he would tell this story time and time again. And as you can hear in the audiobook, it was magic to them. Even decades later, they still were kind of amazed that this whole thing had happened to them.
And they said the third place were the cleft dwellers from Detroit. We heard Schmidt Brothers instead of cleft dwellers. We took off on that stage. I said, no, you guys, come back here, come back here. And the cleft dwellers went out and they won. And they said, and now the second place quartet, and we're looking at each other like, boy, that ain't bad. Second place, first time, you know, we thought we'd be lucky if we got in the top 15. And they said the Keystone Quads from Sharon, Pennsylvania. And they went on the stage, and we stood there and looked at each other and said, you know what? We won. And I said to Paul, don't cry. He says, don't tell me what to do. What do you think you're doing? And it really was the kind of thrill that I guess you only get once in a lifetime. And we had it that night. And
they clocked up after that championship a huge number of performances and a huge number of miles. I think you say they traveled 2 million miles over 35 years. That seems difficult to envisage at the moment, I think.
Well, and you know, I really can't imagine how they did it, because in a given week, they would have their chapter rehearsal. They would run down to Milwaukee, which at the time was before an interstate, was probably a 2-hour drive one way, to go down and take voice lessons, which they only started doing after their first year of being champions. Their voices were starting to wear out, so they decided they needed to really strengthen their voices. So they were doing that. They were rehearsing on their own as a quartet with their coaches. And then on the weekend, they would sing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All that while, they were running their own businesses. They were leading civic organizations, the Elks, the Lions. They were involved in all of these organizations, school boards, church boards, trustees, and they were raising all these children. It's just amazing to me that they could manage to fit that all in.
And we often say in barbershop, lots of people who give time to the hobby say, or they're reminded by their peers and their colleagues, that family at times has to come first. The Schmidt brothers really believed that, didn't they?
They did. They sang, and it was kind of funny, because I asked Aunt Marianne, I said, how is it? I didn't know when I started the book, actually, that they tried to retire. After 10 years, they started realizing that their kids were growing up and they were missing their dads. And they said, you know what, we're going to retire. And there was this huge, you know, worldwide groaning, don't do it, don't do it. Please fit us in. We have this event. And they took a year to really just be dads and spouses and businessmen. And they found out they really, really missed it. They couldn't retire. They couldn't give it up. So then they started making some rules and they said, okay, family first, we're only going to be gone 2 weekends a month. And if there's, you know, a first communion or a graduation or some event, family comes first. And then they kind of settled in to more of a, I still think it was an awful lot, but they settled into a little better routine, but they just couldn't give it up. And it was, they would always say on stage, it was only because their wives and their families made sacrifices that they were able to continue their hobby. And I spoke with the wives about that. I said, you know, my husband travels a lot. I can't imagine in the 50s, in the 60s, what that was like. And both the two surviving wives, Toni Schmidt, who was Joe's wife, and Marianne, who was Jim's wife, both said, you would sit in that audience and you would see how much they enjoyed it. And just how much, you know, both the Schmidt brothers and the audience enjoyed it. And it was truly magical. They said they just couldn't take that away from them. They enjoyed it too much and they were too proud. So it was worth the sacrifice.
And the Schmidt brothers themselves also made some sacrifices. I mean, they turned down, I understand, from your book, an audition for The Music Man for the part that eventually went to the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, they did, which was just amazing to me because I'm thinking, Broadway, are you kidding? How do you turn that down? But when they thought about it, you know, they didn't even do the audition. They thought about it and they said, we have all these children. They'd all have to get up and move to New York. We'd have to close our businesses. And they were all entrepreneurs. They ran their own businesses. They'd have to close them all to sing 4 songs on stage 8 days a week. And who knows how long that would last. So they said, oh, that's just not practical. And it wouldn't be any fun because it's the same 4 songs. So we'll pass. And it was just a very practical decision. But I think it kind of demonstrates their whole approach to barbershopping. For them, it was a hobby. It wasn't something they had to do. It's something they loved to do. And that's kind of what drove any decision about any performance.
And you say in the book that they really set down the template for what it meant to be an international champion quartet for the next 50 years or so.
Yeah, and that actually came from other barbershoppers. As the Schmidt brothers began dying, a lot of eulogies happened, and I got that information from people who said, you know, they not only were very generous with sharing their talents, they worked very hard to educate other people and to promote barbershopping. They did a statewide session on barbershopping at the Wisconsin Music Educators annual convention. They judged and helped individual barbershoppers in Minneapolis. They routinely went back to schools where they could give a performance and then demonstrate what the various aspects of barbershop singing were about. And it was, I think, that idea that they wanted to spread harmony and this whole genre to other people that really inspired others. It's like, I not only enjoy this, I want other people to enjoy it and learn how.
There's a very wide range of people enjoying barbershop at the moment, not only in the US and Canada, but all over Europe, in other parts of the world as well. We see a lot of barbershop on YouTube and elsewhere on the internet. Everyone in harmony. So you have men and women singing together, which they're never used to. What do you think the Schmidt brothers would make of today's barbershop world?
I think they would absolutely love it. I really do. They inspired 4 of their nieces to be Sweet Adelines, as they called them. So there was the Schmidt sisters for a while. When they were in high school, they did that too. And they encouraged everybody to sing. And I think they would really, really love it. The idea that you have these tools like YouTube and podcasts, and even their greatest hits are available for free on Spotify and Apple Music and those things. It lets the harmony live on. And I think they would just thoroughly enjoy it.
And the quartet themselves, how do they live on in their own
hometown in Two Rivers. How are they remembered now?
Actually, it's amazing that you ask that. So a little backstory. I wrote the book, and one of Jim's sons, who was a former mayor of Green Bay, and if you have any American football fans there, you'll know that the Green Bay Packers are in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He sent me an email and said he loved the book. And I said, you know, for putting Two Rivers on the map, it's really strange to me that there isn't anything in downtown Two Rivers that even recognizes the Schmitz. There's no plaque. There's no statue. There's nothing. He said, you know what? You're right. He happened to be good friends with the city manager. So he called the city manager and said, we need to do something. And we didn't know it. But at that time, they were renovating Central Park and putting in all kinds of great amenities and things. And he said, you know, we're building a new stage. Wouldn't it be great if we named the stage after the Schmidt brothers? And I thought that was perfect, right? What better way to remember them and to promote music, which is something that they loved. But the naming rights for the stage were $100,000. So when Jim told me, I said, well, it was a nice thought, but where are we going to get that kind of money? He said, are you kidding? The Schmidt family's a big family. We can do it. And you know what? We raised $122,000 and we dedicated the stage last summer. And it was just amazing. We had 340, I think, cousins from around the United States, about 19 different states, came, and we sang a couple of Schmidt Brothers songs on the stage to dedicate it and cut the ribbon. And the whole city came out. It was really, really spectacular.
You know, as Joe said on the video, the Schmidt Brothers Quartet had 35 children among the four of us. And they were nice enough to say that they would come to Nashville to honor their dads and their grandpas. So would you like to hear some of the Schmidts sing?
Sound of 100 Schmidts on stage with Jim, the quartet lead at BHS Internationals in 2001 on the 50th anniversary of their win. It's one of many recordings featured in the audiobook, The Schmidt Brothers. The book is narrated by Damian Schmidt, son of the quartet's tenor and spokesman Joe, and you'll find it available to buy on Audible. The written version, with dozens of photographs, is available too from online retailers, and I'm sure that you'll also be able to order a version from your local independent bookshop. Well, now, from a vintage quartet to the very newest champion quartet on the block. We've already paid one visit this podcast to Calpe and Bieber's Iberian Convention. Lots of UK interest there, as you've already heard, from a good many quartets, and no fewer than 7 UK choruses in the international section. But it was the victory in the Iberian contest of a new quartet from Portugal, which was the real and very pleasant surprise of the weekend. They're called 351. We'll find out why shortly. Here they are, performing on the contest stage.
I want San Jose. Dress you wore. My heart is too much in control. The lack of romance in my soul will turn you gray, kid. So turn away. Forget my shoulder when you're in need.
I'm João, I'm the tenor.
I'm Miguel, I'm the baritone.
I'm Jorge, I'm the lead.
I'm Miguel, I'm the bass.
And which one of you has been singing Barbershop the longest?
That would be me. I learned about Barbershop maybe in 2014, 2015 on YouTube by watching Vocal Spectrum, and I've been singing it ever since.
And so here you are at a contest with Vocal Spectrum as the American guests. It's the first time that the whole of Iberia has been lumped together in one organization. And here you are from Portugal winning that inaugural contest. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, it's just good timing, I assume. I've been here in 2019 with a mixed quartet, and we got second place. And I've always wanted to come back. And now to come back with a really good quartet, and with Vocal Spectrum being the guests, is like a dream come true.
Tell us about the songs that you chose, Jorge.
Yeah, so we chose I Want San Roses. That we made it our own. We chose it. It was very, very intense. And then Hello My Baby, so an old tune. And just enjoy it.
Was that a David Wright arrangement of Hello My Baby, by the way?
No,
it wasn't. So he didn't arrange any of the songs that you sang?
No.
which, given that he's a judge, is probably not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Safer bet.
Yeah.
But he did like I Want Some Roses. He liked that one.
Yeah.
In me you'll find things like guts and nuts and
intensity that you put into that emotionally was quite incredible. Where does that come from?
I think it's the fact that it's such a great arrangement. We love it. We just love it. I think we loved it from the first time we heard it. Miguel, our baritone, gave us two songs to choose from. I don't even remember what the other one was, because this one just totally eclipses the other one.
It was the most difficult, but...
Yeah, it was the most difficult.
Joel, how did you come to be singing with these other three guys then? Because I think it was Miguel that started first, wasn't it?
Yeah, we all started it, but it was mostly Miguel's as the main guy, because he knows a lot about barbershop. We all have not barbershop backgrounds. We are like classical music musicians. We have jobs as I'm a conductor. George is also a conductor. They are both composers and singers. So we have all kinds of different jobs not related with barbershop. So for us, we all knew about barbershop and we knew how amazing it was, but we have never sung it before. So it was amazing that Miguel brought us together and make this quartet. And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience.
Are you the only barbershoppers in Portugal at the moment? Or are there other quartets? Is there a scene beginning to grow there?
Well, it's growing, but I think we are still the only barbershop quartet in there. But it's growing, yeah. People are getting more interested in the barbershop music, for sure.
We're singing tags at the end of rehearsals to sort of bring people in. But sometimes it doesn't work because people just want silence and we just annoy people. But we found some people that were tagging after a chorus rehearsal that we didn't know about, right? So that was a thing. Maybe that's something that's going to start.
Yeah.
And we would love to show barbershop to more people. Yeah, we would.
I suppose for those of us who are not from Portugal, if we try and think about Portuguese music, the one style of music that immediately comes to mind is fado. And I'm just wondering, is there any similarity at all in the music, in the storytelling, in any aspect of barbershop that relates back to something like that?
Yeah, of course. Everything that talks about love and... missing someone. We have this word in Portuguese that is saudade. I think the most closed word is longing, yeah, maybe. Probably. But it's not, it's really a Portuguese thing. The lyrics are very similar in the intensity and in the theme, the love theme, when it's the love theme. But we started to think also trying to make some barbershop Portuguese music, but let's wait. Miguel is working on that.
I was going to say, is it something that you can easily sing in Portuguese? Because you've got quite a lot of sort of interesting sounds, haven't you? The zh sound that comes a lot, which I suppose doesn't necessarily go too well with trying to get chords to ring. Yeah. Or am I completely wrong? Tell me if I'm completely wrong.
I wouldn't know because I haven't tried it yet. We just opted for like a completely classic repertoire for getting into barbershop, the classics. But now that we kind of understand the sound and that we won and like are beginning to get more into the scene, maybe we'll try like our own repertoire, picking other songs, picking Portuguese songs. So we have like our own thing. So something to try in the future.
We saw Metropolitan Union singing in Spanish, and Hanfris, another Barcelona quartet, they sing in Catalan, so presumably the there might be scope?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, the other thing I should ask, of course, Biba is now an organization covering Portugal and Spain, but is there any rivalry between the Portuguese and the Spaniards when it comes to barbershop?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, everyone has welcomed us. Mm. And really, we are the only Portuguese people here. So if there was to be any rivalry, it would be with us, right? Because there's no one else. And we've been welcomed. Everyone was so nice. I think everyone is trying to grow, and any kind of growth in the association is welcome. So if it comes from Portugal, it comes from Portugal. If it comes from Vigo or Madrid, it doesn't matter, right? Anywhere it comes is welcome.
There was a massive, and I would imagine very, very gratifying cheer when you were announced as the gold medalist today.
It's mostly George's cheer.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my
Have you begun to think about competing internationally yet, George?
Well, today, yes, but but actually not for now. I don't think so. For now, we just want to enjoy this this win, continue to improve our singing, and we don't know, maybe in the future, let's try it. Let's see where Barbershop takes us.
Indeed, just one final question for all four of you. If anybody listening to this from the UK would like to know more about your quartet, is there a website or a YouTube channel or anything that they can go to find out more?
We have a very nice Facebook page and also Instagram page. You can just put 351 Quartet and you will find us for sure. And YouTube page as well.
Oh, and the one other thing, 351, where does that come from?
That's the indicative, our phone indicative of Portugal.
So anyone dialing Portugal from the UK, say, has got to put 351 at the front of the number.
Yes.
That's right.
Excellent name.
Plus 351,
Plus I had to put that number to call my wife today because I have her number stored, just the national number without the 351 because I never need it. So I had to put it in. So it was kind of cute that I had to dial the name of our quartet to talk to her. Yeah.
Well, let's hope you got through. It was a fantastic performance. It's been great to see you. I know everybody's welcomed you here. And we'll look forward to hearing and seeing a lot more from you in the future. 351, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you
very much.
Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss, my wife. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Baby, telephone and tell me that you're mine.
Hello,
there, tell me that you're mine.
Sound of 351 Quartet. Four very talented people from Lisbon. Do look out for them on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty more from them in the future. My thanks to Bieber for letting me use audio from their live stream, and to Eric Idler, the amazing video photographer who puts it all together for them. And that's almost it for this edition of Harmony UK podcast. Next time we'll be in Harrogate for BAB's 50th anniversary convention. That's at the end of May. But let's stay with Bieber for a last word in tribute to Ralph Keenan, who died shortly before this year's convention. Ralph and his wife Sylvie have long been friends to barbershoppers in Spain and Portugal as well as here in the UK. The couple were among the founding members of SABS, whose successor organisation, Bieber, has named their mixed chorus trophy in Ralph's honour. Fittingly, it was won by Bella A Cappella, a chorus from the Algarve where Ralph was among the original singers and Sylvie was the first chorus director. Well, when they performed on the Saturday evening show, Bella A Cappella dedicated a special song to Ralph's memory. So let's end this Harmony UK podcast with that performance for Ralph, the song Tomorrow is Promised to No One.
Tomorrow.
Bella a cappella, singing in tribute to Ralph Keenan, who also competed with the Kleptomania Quartet. Bieber said of Ralph that his presence, talent, and sense of fun would be greatly missed within the Bieber community. And I'm sure that goes for all those barbershoppers who knew Ralph. From me, John Beasley, thanks very much for listening to this Harmony UK podcast. Keep the whole world singing, and I'll see you soon.